is what you got is. Then he has a break between his bio class and OPIM, which is the first one he has with his study group. He uses the time to get coffee and spend some time in one of the lounges in Huntsman, texting Kaelin. Sarah finds him the moment he walks into OPIM, waving at him across the room. Hunter's next to her with a death grip on a coffee cup, and there are a couple of empty seats on either side of them.
"Hi," Sarah says.
She goes right in for a hug.
"How was your break?"
"Good," Lenny says. "How was yours?"
"Good," Sarah says. "I liked seeing my family, but I was so ready to come back to school."
She leans around him to say, "Hi, Caleb." And Danny steps out of the way so she can hug Caleb.
"Hey."
Caleb looks more relaxed than he did all break. Danny sits down next to Hunter. "How was your break?"
"Too short,"
Hunter grumbles into his coffee cup.
"You're not even jet-lagged. For real, though, how was your break?"
she asks Caleb.
"It was okay," Caleb says. "I worked a lot."
He catches Danny's eye, and then looks at Hunter, and smirks as he says,
"Danny took me to a hockey game."
Danny has 3 kids. He recognizes the jealousy and the mutinous look Hunter gives both of them.
"You don't even like hockey," Hunter says.
Caleb's smirk stays firmly in place as he says,
"But hockey players,"
and gets a scowl out of Hunter.
"Thanks a lot," Sarah says. "Now we're going to have to listen to this all semester."
"Don't worry," Danny says. "I'll take all of you to a game later. Claude already said he'd get us tickets."
"Of course he did," Hunter says, most of his usual easy superiority back in place. "He's your boyfriend."
Their professor steps up to the front of the room, which doesn't leave Danny any chance to dispute that. Thursday is Claude's birthday, but it's also a game day. Danny keeps an eye on the clock and calls Claude after he's out of class, late enough that Claude's probably up from his nap.
"Happy birthday,"
Danny says when Claude answers the phone.
"Thank you,"
Claude says.
"Do I get a birthday blowjob out of it?"
Danny laughs. "You have a game."
"We have time,"
Claude says.
"Maybe even time for you to come too, if you're fast about it."
"Oh," Danny says. "Is that what you want for your birthday? One quick blowjob?"
"If that's all we have time for,"
Claude says. Danny laughs at him. "Okay," he says. It is Claude's birthday, and it's not like he minds having sex with Claude. "You want me to come there?"
"No,"
Claude says.
"I'll come there. Greg's is still here, and your house is empty."
Cameron isn't home yet, so he's even right about that.
"Okay,"
then he says. "I'll see you in a few minutes." It's longer than he would have expected it to take before Claude shows up, but he has a suit bag with him, and he drapes over the couch before he catches Danny in a quick kiss.
"Happy birthday," Danny says again.
"Thank you," Claude says. "Down here or upstairs?"
"Upstairs."
Danny pushes him in that direction and follows behind him. Claude strips in Danny's room, throwing a grin at him.
"This is how you do game day,"
Danny says.
"This is a special occasion,"
and strips out of his own clothes before pushing Claude down to the bed. He can see the clock from where he is, so he knows about how much time he has. It's just enough that he doesn't have to rush it too much. He starts by kissing Claude, deep and slow. Claude kisses him back and holds him close. If they had more time, Danny would just do this for longer, but since they're on a schedule, he pulls away sooner than he would like and starts kissing and touching his way down Claude's body. It's so familiar to him now that he knows where to bite down to make Claude shiver, and how lightly to run his fingers over the bruise on Claude's side. He gets to Claude's cock and glances at the clock before he goes down on him. He wants Claude to enjoy it, but, given the time constraints, he doesn't try to drag it out. He takes Claude into his mouth and sucks him lightly for a few seconds before he sucks harder.
Claude's hand settles into his hair, not quite gripping, but firm enough to let Danny know how much he's enjoying it. Danny moves under the encouragement, bobbing up and down on Claude's cock, and using his tongue to try and make it as good as he can. He sucks harder when Claude gasps out a warning that he's close. That's the whole point, and Danny has no objections to swallowing. He manages to get most of it when Claude does come, only a little of it escaping down his chin. Danny glances at the clock again.
We have enough time for you to blow me if you make it quick.
Claude looks at him with a sleepy smile.
Why should I? It's my birthday.
Danny raises his eyebrows.
Oh, so you don't want to suck my cock?
He sits up and strokes himself a couple of times, making it showy. Claude groans.
Yes, I do. Come here.
He gestures Danny forward. I'm not moving. Danny shuffles up the bed and kneels over Claude. Claude opens his mouth and takes Danny in easily. He's not putting much skill into it, but he just came, and Danny knows he'd rather be napping than doing anything that requires effort. Plus, it's his birthday, so he shouldn't have to do much work.
Danny does the work, fucking Claude's mouth slowly, enough to get himself off, but gentle enough not to be uncomfortable for Claude.
He warns Claude when he's about to come. Claude puts his hand on Danny's hip to keep him there, so Danny comes in his mouth, pulling back a little at the end so he doesn't choke on Claude. It takes him a minute to recover enough to look at the clock. They're still good on time, so he brushes a kiss against Claude's cheek and gets up.
What are you doing? Claude asks. Getting your birthday present. I thought this was my birthday present. Part of it.
Then he gets the envelope out of the closet and brings it to Claude. Claude tears open the envelope and pulls out the piece of paper inside.
Tea times. For you and three others. Those are all days you're in town, but they can be rescheduled, if you need to.
Claude drops the paper and the envelope on the bed next to him and turns toward Danny.
Thank you.
He kisses Danny for a minute.
Do I have to take you with me?
Danny laughs.
No, he says. Not if you don't want to.
Claude grins and kisses him again.
I probably will anyway.
Danny runs his hand down Claude's arm.
It's your present. I'll go with you if you want me to.
He sits up and looks past Claude at the clock.
We're out of time. Go clean up. I'll bring your suit upstairs.
He watches Claude walk into the bathroom before he pulls on some clothes and retrieves Claude's suit bag. Then he lounges on the bed and watches Claude get dressed. Claude stands over Danny after he's dressed, nudging his way between Danny's legs and making Danny look up at him.
Are you going to watch the game?
Danny puts his hands on Claude's hips.
Yes.
Claude smiles at him.
Can I come over after? No,
Danny says. He squeezes Claude's hips to soften it.
I have class at 8 tomorrow.
Claude sighs and bends over to kiss him.
So unfair.
Then he rubs Claude's shoulders.
I'll see you on Saturday. You should go, or you'll be late.
Claude sighs again and kisses Danny slower and deeper. Then he walks him down the stairs, and Claude kisses him again at the door.
2 points,
Danny says.
Claude flashes a grin as he leaves. 2 points.
Then he closes the door behind him and goes upstairs to clean himself up and put on a shirt. Claude's clothes from earlier are still on the floor of his bedroom. Then he picks them up and tosses them into the hamper.
Friday, Sarah says at the end of her station. And it seems like class just started. They did, Hunter says, on Wednesday.
Sarah waves that away.
Lunch?
Caleb says.
Sure.
And Hunter shrugs.
Danny?
Danny thinks for a moment about the time.
Yes, but I can't stay for long.
They pick a place and start walking.
You didn't sign up for Friday afternoon classes, did you?
Hunter asks, making it clear that that would have been a stupid thing to do.
No, Danny says. We're going out of town as soon as Cameron gets out of school. Classes just started, Sarah says.
You couldn't have gone over break?
Not for this, Danny says.
Is this your family hockey thing?
Caleb asks. Yes.
Family hockey thing? Hunter asks, skeptically.
Carson, my middle son, has a game in Mississauga tomorrow night, and Claude has a game in Toronto Sunday night. Cameron and I are flying up there this afternoon, and Kaelin, my older son, is flying in later tonight.
It was his Christmas present from Claude, Caleb says.
Wow, Sarah says after a long moment. What did you get him?
Danny knows where this is going to go, but if he doesn't answer, Caleb will just tell them anyway.
Cooking lessons, he says. For him, Cameron, and me. It was Cameron's idea.
Sarah starts laughing and doesn't stop until they settle in around the table.
You know you've gone way past boyfriend with that one, she says. I think it's great. Very romantic giving each other experience gifts to share, but you're into, like, married people territory with that kind of thing.
My parents don't give each other those kinds of gifts, Hunter says.
Not even for their 25th anniversary.
Sarah settles back in her chair and eyes Danny.
Well, you're more like newlyweds, right? I mean, how long has this been going on?
Danny tries to get away with not answering that one, but Caleb was there for that part of the conversation on Christmas, and he says,
No, 5 years.
5 years!
Hunter's voice is too loud, and he looks around and lowers it.
You've been sleeping with Claude Giroux for 5 years!
Not continuously, Danny says. Off and on.
Oh my god, Sarah says. You officially have the most interesting love life of anyone at this table.
Why is that? Danny asks. You're the young college students. Aren't you supposed to be out there dating or hooking up or something else we can talk about?
I hook up, Hunter says. But it's nothing this interesting.
I hooked up with a guy I knew from high school over break, Sarah says. He gave me a hickey, but it wasn't this interesting.
A hickey? Caleb asks.
Sarah loosens her scarf and pulls the collar of her shirt down so they can all see the fading bruise on her neck.
It's a lot warmer at home than it is here. Do you know how hard it is to hide a hickey when you can't wear a scarf all the time?
Why bother? Hunter says. You're an adult.
Yeah, Sarah says. But that doesn't mean I want to answer awkward questions from my grandparents about what happened to my neck. And this still isn't as interesting as Danny's love life. You never told us it was 5 years.
I tried not to tell you anything about it, Danny says.
College? Friends, Caleb reminds him. You don't get out of talking about it with us.
How have you been hooking up with him for 5 years? Sarah asks. And how can you still say he's not your boyfriend?
It was never like that, Danny says. We're just friends, and sometimes when neither of us was dating anyone, we would hook up.
I think it's like that now, Hunter says. You should just go steady already, or whatever people your age do.
Going steady was my parents' generation, Danny says. Or maybe the one before that. I'm not that old.
Whatever, Hunter says. You're avoiding the point.
Yes, Danny says. I am.
Do you think, Sarah asks Caleb, we would get farther with Claude?
Nope, Caleb says. One of his friends was trying on Christmas, and Claude said the same thing Danny always tells us.
Christmas? Hunter asks. You spent Christmas with them?
Yes, Caleb says, and some of the guys from Claude's team.
You spent Christmas with the Flyers?
Not all of them, Caleb says.
I'll tell Claude to get us tickets for sometime next month, Danny says, to try and forestall the kind of resentment he can see coming. They're like his boys, only worse about it, because they're such different personalities.
We'll introduce you to everyone.
You like it, Caleb says to Sarah. Some of them are hot.
Sarah smirks. Well, if you and Danny think so.
Oh my god, Hunter says. It's a sport, not a chance for you to drool over guys.
I don't see why we can't do both, Sarah says. And my hickey will have faded by then, so it won't even look like I'm already taken.
Danny is about 80% sure she only says it to annoy Hunter. When they get off the plane on Friday afternoon, Danny and Cameron check into the hotel and go out to wander around Toronto for a bit before they get back into the rental and drive back out to the airport to pick up Kaylin. It's been less than a week, but Danny's still glad to see Kaylin. Kaylin puts up with his hug for about a minute before he pulls away and says,
I'm starving. Do we have to wait for Carson?
Then he pulls out his phone and checks the time. Carson should be here by the time we get back to the hotel. We can have dinner after that. Carson's the one who wasn't home for very long, and he puts up with more hugging from all of them when he gets to the hotel. And then Danny has to listen to the three of them argue about what they want for dinner. In the end, he steps in and makes a decision.
What about Claude? Kaylin asks.
He's coming up with his team tomorrow, Danny says. They should be here after lunch, before Carson's game.
They don't have a game, Carson says. Why couldn't he come up today?
He's staying with us until Monday, Danny says. He couldn't do both. Dinner is both like and unlike dinners while Kaylin and Carson were home over Christmas. It's the same, in that Danny has all three boys at one table, but different in that, outside of their usual haunts, he can see how grown up they all are, even Cameron. All of them are just far enough into the semester that he can compare notes about classes, which is a lot like doing the same with his classmates. It's surprising how much it's like that, actually. And then he looks at them and thinks that, pretty soon, they really will all be adults, and it will be even harder to get them all around the table. I'm glad we're doing this, he says when the arrival of their food causes a lull in the conversation. I miss having you all around. The boys all look at him, and he half expects them to roll their eyes at him, but they all nod. And Carson says,
It's pretty cool that Claude arranged it. It was a good idea.
Kaylin and Cameron are hanging out in Danny's room, the three of them taking turns battling out Fruit Ninja on Danny's iPad, when Claude texts to say he's there. Danny texts back with his room number and lets Cameron take over for him so he can answer the door when Claude knocks. Claude grins when Danny opens the door, and he's already leaning in to kiss Danny before the door finishes swinging shut behind him. He, at least, has the sense to keep the kiss quick.
Hi, Claude says after.
Hi. Danny can't help but grin up at him. Claude steps around him and into the room.
Hey, guys.
There's the sound of a loss from the iPad, and Kaylin groans and stands up.
You made me lose.
He goes over to Claude and hugs him.
You should have paused it.
Claude stands there with Kaylin for a minute, not quite as long as Danny hugged him yesterday, and lets him go and hugs Cameron.
Carson already with his team?
Yes, Danny says. He'll come back with us after the game. Claude nods and then looks at the iPad.
What are we playing?
The boys teach Claude how to play, and he cheerfully loses to both of them and Danny enough times that he finally says,
I don't think I should play anymore, with a laugh. Sarah would be so disappointed in you, Cameron says.
Kaylin looks at all of them with his face scrunched up.
Sarah? The one from Dad's school, Cameron says. She loves video games.
Kaylin's face smoothed out.
Then she really would be disappointed by Claude. She likes Claude just fine, Danny says.
He puts his arm around Claude's shoulders, even if she is disappointed in his video game skills.
You're only better because you were playing this with them before,
Claude says with a gentle elbow to Danny's sides. The boys play another couple of games, and then Danny gets everyone to put on their coats and grab their phones and wallets so they can head out for dinner before Carson's game. They get noticed at the game. It's major junior hockey in Canada, of course, they get noticed, but people mostly leave them alone. The people around them join in their conversation about the gameplay, but that's more about the game than about Danny and Claude. They cheer especially loud for Carson's goal, which gets them a couple of dirty looks from Mississauga fans around them, but none of them cares. It ends up being a one-goal game, but the Rangers win it in the end. They all have experience with how long it takes to get out of a locker room after a win, so they don't hurry out of the rink. They're obviously lingering, so they get a few requests for pictures and autographs, and Cameron and Kaylin take turns taking people's phones and snapping pictures of them with Danny and Claude. They're posing for one of those when Carson comes toward them, hair wet and lugging a duffel. Danny smiles a little bit more, and Kaylin snaps the picture, and then turns around to see what they're looking at.
"There's the real star," Claude says. He drops his arm from around a fan's shoulders and heads toward Carson. "Nice game, buddy."
Danny gives the fan a smile and waits until Kaylin gives the guy's phones back, before he also goes to congratulate Carson.
"Just one goal and one assist," Cameron says. "You should have gotten in a fight and gone for the Gordie Howe."
Carson just laughs and messes up Cameron's hair.
"Good game," Danny says.
He puts one arm around Carson's shoulders.
"Let's go, it's late, and Claude has to play tomorrow."
A family full of hockey players means that the entire drive back to the hotel is spent analyzing the game, and the conversation goes all the way up to their rooms. Danny and Claude say goodnight to the boys and let them continue the conversation in their own room, and Claude follows Danny into his.
"You have a game tomorrow," Danny says,
but he accepts Claude's arms around him and kisses back when Claude kisses him.
"I know," Claude says. "This is for luck."
Danny laughs at him.
"You're Claude Giroux. You don't need luck."
Claude grins at him and pushes one hand under Danny's shirt.
"Do I get something for being Claude Giroux?"
Danny grabs at Claude's arm and keeps him from moving his hand up anymore.
"You get to go to sleep, so you're ready for your game tomorrow."
"I could sleep here."
"You know we won't sleep if you stay," Danny says. "Not for a long time."
He kisses Claude and then gently pushes him away.
"Go." "Tomorrow," Claude says. "You're not getting rid of me."
Danny smirks at him.
"I wasn't planning on it."
Claude grins at him and leaves to go to his own room. The boys sleep late, and Danny wanders out of the hotel to get something for breakfast. He ends up a couple of blocks away in a dinner that turns out to have really good pancakes, and he hangs out for a while, sipping his coffee and alternately people watching and reading the news on his phone. He tells the boys where he is when they text him to say they're up, and they come and join him. His waitress looks a little happier now that he's spending more money and not just taking up a table, and he makes sure to leave her a generous tip to make up for it. They spend most of the day at the Hockey Hall of Fame. They've been there once before, but the boys were still pretty young, and it's more fun this time around. They all have opinions that they feel the need to voice, and it's a weekend, so the place is pretty full, and they have plenty of people to bounce their opinions off of. Danny chimes in some, but mostly leaves them to it. Conversation changes topics over dinner, but comes back to hockey when they head over to the ACC. They get there in plenty of time to watch warm-ups, and the boys go right down to the glass.
"We should have made signs," Carson says,
looking around at the fans with poster board pressed to the glass.
"This is a prime chirping opportunity we're missing."
"I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities for chirping," Danny says.
"This one would have been the best," Carson says.
He waits until Claude's skating somewhat in their direction on a drill, then cups his hands around his mouth and yells,
"Hey, Giroux, you better win this one!"
Claude isn't the only one to turn and look at them. Then he sighs, and all three of the boys laugh like it's the funniest thing they've ever seen. Claude skates their way and points at them through the glass with a stern expression on his face, which just makes them laugh harder and makes Danny laugh too. Claude grins at them before he skates away, and the people nearby start to notice them, which is why Danny has a Sharpie in his pocket, although a Toronto crowd isn't nearly as interested in him as Philly crowds are. It's a tough game, and the boys trade cheerful insults with the Leafs fans next to them, and they all keep up running commentary and analysis on the play. It goes to overtime, which just amps up the mood in the arena, and has the boys and a few other Flyers fans in the crowd jumping out of their seats when Claude feeds a pass to Jag that he sneaks past Raymer for the win. There's a lot of grumbling from the Toronto crowd as the arena empties, and Danny and the boys let most of the crowd stream past them before they head out. Claude left them passes, so once things calm down, Danny takes the boys down to the locker room. They're still busy with press, so Danny and the boys hang out in the hallway and chat with everyone else standing around. With the win, everyone's in high spirits. When the press starts to filter out, some of the reporters stop to ask Danny about the game. "You've been to a couple of games recently," one of them says. Danny smiles, shrugs, and says, "I like hockey. The team's doing really well, and this was a good time to go to a game with all three of my boys, which we don't get to do much anymore." Another one of the beat reporters he's known for years asks Carson a couple of questions about playing in Kitchener. It's not the first time Danny's watched one of his boys being interviewed about playing hockey, but Carson answers like a pro, and it's just one more thing that reminds him how much his boys are growing up. Are grown up, really. Some of the guys come out of the locker room after the reporters are gone, and they all know Danny and his boys well enough to stop and chat. Cameron tells Scott about Carson being interviewed, and Scott, predictably, grins at him.
"Trying to steal our thunder."
"Well," Carson says, "you are getting older. I'm just taking my natural place as the next generation of hockey players."
"Older," Scott laughs. "I'll show you older. I can still take you."
Carson grins.
"Wanna bet?"
Their tussling takes up everyone's attention, so Danny doesn't notice Claude until he puts an arm around Danny's shoulders.
"What did Carson do?"
"How do you know it wasn't Scott?"
Claude laughs. "It wasn't Hartsey."
Carson called him old. Claude cracks up. Scott and Carson break it up, and Scott points at Claude.
"Watch it, buddy. You know I can take you."
"Sure," Claude says.
"Don't you have a bus to catch?"
"Yeah, yeah," Scott says. He comes over and Claude lets go of Danny to exchange hugs with Scott.
"Nice game. Have fun with the family."
"Thanks," Claude says.
"Couldn't do it without you."
"Damn straight," Scott says, and he high-fives the boys on his way out, with a couple of the other guys hanging around.
"Ready to go?"
Danny asks.
"Yep."
Claude has his bag with him, and there isn't anyone else around keeping the boys occupied, so they make their way out of the arena and back to the hotel. None of them are tired, and Claude's going to be wound up for hours, so they drop off the car and dump Claude's bag in Danny's room, and then they walk down to the dinner Danny found earlier. The waitress shows them a large curved booth, and they settle into it with menus and a lively discussion about whether burgers or pancakes are the better post-game late-night food. They end up with a mixture of breakfast and dinner foods. Everyone orders pie after their food, and Danny's the only one starting to get tired by the time they walk back to the hotel.
"I'm going to call Alexis," Kaelin says when they get to the lobby,
and he goes to sit on one of the couches while the rest of them go upstairs.
"We have to leave by noon tomorrow for everyone to catch their flights and buses,"
Danny tells Carson and Cameron before they go to their room across the hall from Danny and Claude. Carson makes a face, but says,
"We'll get up before then, so we can have breakfast."
"Tell us when you're up," Danny says. "We'll have breakfast with you." Claude already has the door to their room open, so Danny leaves the boys to their own devices and follows Claude into their room. He waits for the door to swing shut, and then presses Claude into the wall and kisses him hard. Claude kisses him back just as hard, complete with hands wandering down over Danny's ass. "Is this what I get for an overtime game-winning goal? And a family trip with the boys?" Danny says. He pushes Claude's coat off his shoulders to pull on the floor, then pulls his tuque off and drops it with the coat.
"Remind me to do nice things for you more often."
Claude cooperates in letting Danny get his suit jacket off to fall to the floor with everything else, and then he goes after Danny's coat. Getting their shirts off involves a lot of kissing and fingers tangling, and Claude's hands find their way to Danny's ass again. "There's a bed right there," Claude says while biting at Danny's neck. "In a minute," Danny says. He tips his head to catch Claude's lips with his, and then he slides to his knees and unbuttons Claude's pants. "Fuck," Claude breathes. "Fuck, yes, please." Danny pulls Claude's zipper down and tucks his pants and underwear down to his thighs. He makes Claude wait for a second, looking up to make sure he's paying attention, before he wraps his hand around the base of Claude's cock and takes just the head of it into his mouth. He licks and sucks and mouths at Claude's cock for a couple of minutes, listening to Claude make noise above him, and then he stops, lets go, and stands up. "Danny!" Claude whines. When Danny kisses him, Claude licks into his mouth and cups a hand over his cock through his jeans. Danny pulls away. "Bed," he says. He steps back enough that there's space for Claude to kick off his shoes and the rest of his clothes, and he watches until Claude turns toward the bed. Then he takes his shoes and socks off and opens the closest door to get the lube and condoms out of the bottom of his bag. He tosses them onto the bed next to Claude and strips out of his pants and underwear. Claude pulls him close when Danny joins him onto the bed. He kisses Danny, and Danny gropes for the lube while he kisses back. "It's your choice," Danny says, flipping the cap open. "But I really want to ride you." Claude groans and bites at Danny's mouth. "Yes," he says. He reaches for the lube, but Danny holds it out of his reach as he sits up and straddles Claude's hips. Danny squeezes lube onto his fingers, and then reaches behind himself. Fingering himself open isn't quite as good for him as having Claude do it for him, but it means he can go faster, and it's worth the look of slack-jawed lust on Claude's face. "Condom," he says when he's stretched enough to take Claude, and Claude fumbles with the condom wrapper for a moment before he stops, looking at Danny, and pays attention to what he's doing. Danny doesn't take his fingers out of himself until Claude has the condom on and is looking at him again, and then he slowly slides down onto Claude's cock until his ass is resting against Claude's hips. Claude makes a choked sound, and his hands settle on Danny's hips. "I'm going to do so many more nice things for you." Danny laughs a little and bends over to kiss him. "This is pretty nice." "Nice?" Claude chokes. "This had better be more than nice." He rolls his hips and Danny goes with the movement. "Good," Danny says. "Hot better than nice. It better be." Claude pulls him down to kiss him again. They move together easily and the boys are across the hall, so they don't make much effort to be quiet. "It is better than nice," with Claude lifting his hips to meet Danny's movements, and a shift and press of sensation as Danny leans down to kiss Claude and sits back up to move against him. Claude comes first, and Danny settles back onto his hips and jerks himself off, turned on enough to come before it gets to be too much for Claude, and he shoves Danny off of him. Danny lies next to him, stretching his legs out carefully. "Fuck," Claude says. He pats Danny's chest with an uncoordinated hand that ends up staying there. "That was good." Then he puts his hand over Claude's. "Mm-hmm. You deserved it." "Yes, I did," Claude says with smug satisfaction. He turns his head to look at Danny.
Not too much for you?
I'm not even 40, Danny says. I can still keep up with you in bed.
Claude grins at him. And I appreciate that. You were on your knees a lot.
Danny reaches down and rubs at one of his knees. They're twinging a little, but not too bad. They're fine. Claude leans over and kisses him. I'll clean up, he says, and he gets out of bed and goes to the bathroom.
Danny just watches him for a second, and then he whistles at Claude's ass.
Claude grins over his shoulder and disappears into the bathroom. Danny's knees might be okay, but it's late, and the whole day has left him more than ready to sleep. He keeps his eyes open until Claude comes back with a washcloth and doesn't let him clean himself up, and then he lets them fall closed. Claude gets back into bed with him and pulls the blankets up over them. Then he can tell when he turns out the light, and then he leans in toward Claude's movement when Claude kisses him.
Thank you for this trip, Danny says.
You're welcome, Claude says. He kisses Danny again.
Thank you for the amazing sex. Top five.
Then he chuckles and lets Claude cuddle up to him before he falls asleep.
Danny and Claude wake up before the boys in the morning, so they repack their bags and head down the street to the dinner for breakfast. They're perfectly capable of entertaining themselves and each other for a couple of hours, occasionally interrupted by fans wanting autographs or pictures, and the boys join them around 11. Then he keeps an eye on the clock and hustles them all out there back to the hotel to get their stuff and take Carson to the train station. They all get out of the car to say their goodbyes, and Carson tussles with Kaylin and Cameron for a moment before he hugs Claude and says,
"Thanks, Claude. Good Christmas present."
And then lets Danny hug him for a couple of minutes.
"Good luck with your exams next week," Danny says. "I'll come up and see you play again soon."
They leave Carson there, and the rest of them head to the airport to return the rental car and catch their flights. Kaylin's flight leaves first, so they hang out with him at the gate until his row is called, and then there's a flurry of hugs, and Kaylin promises that he and Alexis are coming home for spring break.
"You'd better get us tickets," he says to Claude, "so we can see you play at home."
Claude says, "You bet, buddy." And they wave to Kaylin as he gets in line. Danny and Claude have two seats together on the flight home, with Cameron across the aisle.
"Back to the real world," Claude says.
"You didn't really leave it," Danny points out. He has a book with him so he can get some of his bio reading done on the plane.
"Are you going to read the whole way?" Claude asks. "You're supposed to keep me entertained."
"Oh, is that why you arranged this?" Danny tilts the book toward him.
"You can read along."
"No way," Claude says. "You're the one who wanted to go back to school, not me."
"Yes," Danny says. "And I didn't do any homework this weekend, so now I have reading to do."
Claude heaves a very heavy sigh, but he puts on headphones, messes with the in-flight TV options, and lets Danny get his reading done. The flight back to Philly isn't that long, but Danny finishes his bio reading and tackles about half of his OPIM homework. It's still not everything he has to do, so when they get across the river into Jersey, and he asks Claude if he wants to be dropped off at his place or come home with him and Cameron, he warns him, "I still have homework to do." Claude makes a face at him and says,
"My place, I guess. I should check in anyway. Make sure Greg's hasn't burned it down."
Then he grins at him and heads to Claude's place, where he pulls into one of the empty spaces out front. Claude leans against the console, apparently not caring that Cam is in the back seat, and kisses Danny. Danny kisses him back for a moment, and can't help smiling at him when they pull apart.
"Great weekend, right?" Claude says.
"Great," Danny says, his smile broadening into a grin.
"Really great," Cameron says. "Are you done making out so we can go home?"
"Yes, we're done," Claude says with a laugh. He gets out of the car and grabs his bag while Cameron gets in the front seat. He waves at them as he walks to his door, and Danny pulls out of the space. Danny drops Cameron off at Sylvie's and heads for home alone. He's not overly surprised when Claude texts him later about dinner, and he takes a break from his homework to go out with Claude. Claude comes home with him and amuses himself while Danny finishes what needs to be finished before tomorrow. Danny joins Claude on the couch when he's done, and they watch TV without talking for a while, until they're both yawning too much to bother paying attention.
"I'll blow you in the morning," Claude says on his way up the stairs. "You'll have to wake me up for it, though."
"I don't have class until 11, Danny says, and he stops climbing the stairs when the sound of Claude's footsteps behind him stops.
"You don't?"
Danny shakes his head. "Not on Tuesdays or Thursdays." Claude kisses him, Danny having to bend down for it with Claude on the stairs below him.
"Morning sex," he says when they pull apart.
Danny grins at him and heads up the stairs. Claude wakes Danny up in the morning, gently but insistently.
"I want to blow you," Claude says.
Danny blinks himself all the way awake and kicks the blankets away. Claude doesn't waste any time after that, slithers down the bed, tugs Danny's pajamas off, and proceeds to lick and suck and touch until Danny arches off the bed with a shout as he comes. Claude lets him recover for a minute or so before he sits up, cock hard and arching up towards his belly, and asks,
"What are you going to do for me?
What do you want?" Claude looks at him for a second and says,
"Can I?"
He knee-walks his way up the bed.
"I want to fuck your mouth."
Danny adjusts his head on the pillow so he'll be a little more comfortable and licks his lips.
"Yes," he says, "come on."
Claude kneels over him and guides his cock into Danny's mouth. He goes slow at first and a little faster once Danny can take it. He makes noise, looking down at Danny, touching his cheek, cupping his jaw to tilt his head and change the angle. Danny sucks and licks and makes it as good as he can, and he swallows when Claude comes.
"Morning sex,"
Claude says with lazy satisfaction after he falls sideways onto the bed afterwards. Danny laughs and pats his hip before he gets out of the bed and heads for the shower. Sarah and Caleb are already in their usual seats when Danny gets to class in the morning, and they both zero in on him.
"So," Sarah asks, "how was your weekend?"
"It was good," Danny says. "How was yours?"
Sarah and Caleb both give him looks for that. He didn't think he was going to get away with it anyway.
"We had fun," Danny says. "Carson played a good game, and Claude got the game-winning goal in overtime in his game, and it was good to spend time with my boys."
"And your boyfriend?" Caleb says.
"And Claude," Danny says.
There are more people filtering into the room, enough that their conversation can't remain private much longer, and Sarah says,
"We're going to lunch after class, and you're going to tell us the rest of it."
Hunter slides into the empty seat on the other side of her.
"The rest of what?"
"Danny's family vacation."
"The Flyers won. What else do we need to know about?"
Hunter looks at Sarah and Caleb and makes a face.
"No one needs to know more about the rest of it."
"Then you don't have to come."
Hunter makes another face at her, but when class ends, he joins in the conversation about where they should eat and tags along with them.
"Aside from the hockey," Caleb asks when they're settled in around a table,
"what did you do this weekend?"
"Not much," Danny admits. "The boys and I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and we spent a lot of time hanging out in the dinner down the street from our hotel."
"Wow," Hunter says. "That's an incredibly boring vacation."
Danny shrugs.
"It was more about having all the boys together than doing anything exciting."
"Your kids and Claude," Sarah says.
"He went with us to Carson's game," Danny says, "but he was mostly with his team."
"Except when he was hooking up with you,"
Hunter says with a look on his face that says he doesn't really want to see it.
"He only stayed with me one night," Danny says. "Can one of you please start dating so we can talk about someone else's sex life?"
"Even if we do," Sarah says, "it's never going to be as interesting as yours."
Between all of their schedules, Danny's school, Claude's hockey, and Cameron's combination of school and hockey, they don't manage to have their first cooking lesson until the end of January. Danny met with Mitchell, the chef, back in December, so he could get a sense of what they should learn and the layout of their kitchen, and so Danny could make a list if there was anything they needed that they didn't have. That means that they're all ready for it when Mitchell shows up on a Thursday afternoon with a couple of bags of groceries. Danny introduces him to Cameron and Claude, and Mitchell smiles at all of them.
"You're the hockey player, right?" he says to Claude. "And you," he turns to Cameron, "are learning to cook before you leave home."
"I'm also a hockey player," Cameron says, "and my dad doesn't know how to cook anything."
Danny shrugs. "It's pretty much true." Mitchell doesn't seem bothered by it.
"If you want to try something more ambitious later, we can do that. But mostly, we're going to be making pretty simple, healthy meals that you'll be able to prepare yourself without much trouble."
"Even dad?" Cameron asks, with way more skepticism than is warranted.
Mitchell grins. "Even your dad. I'm pretty good at this teaching thing."
"Dad's pretty bad at cooking."
Even Danny has to laugh at that one.
"Give your dad a break," Claude says. "I'll bet he can learn to cook at least one thing without burning it."
"All right," Mitchell says, cutting into the conversation. "The first step is washing your hands. You want to make sure you're not bringing anything you don't want to eat into your food."
They take overlapping turns at the sink, and Danny digs a couple of aprons out of the drawer. He takes the one with the boy's handprints on it, Cameron gets the Kiss the Cook barbecue one, and Claude ends up with a checked one Danny thinks the boys might actually have bought specifically for Claude one year. Their first meal is chicken, pasta, and vegetables, the same kind of thing they've all eaten innumerable times. Mitchell guides them through the prep work and keeps up a running commentary on cooking skills and ways they can modify each piece of the meal when they want some variety.
"A lot of this is in the recipe binder," he says,
gesturing at the binders with printouts of today's meal he stacked on an out-of-the-way corner of the counter. There's one for each of them, and Mitchell said he'd bring them each a set of pages for every new recipe they make.
"It's good to go over it while you're cooking, too, so you get a sense of the rhythm of it."
Nothing burns, and there are no injuries, and when everything is done, Mitchell teaches them to plate it neatly.
"You don't have to do this," he says, "but presentation can make your meal more enjoyable, and it's a good thing to know if you ever want to impress someone with your kitchen skills."
Danny expects chirping from either Claude or Cameron on that one, but neither of them hassles him about it, and they all manage to make up a respectable-looking plate. When Danny made arrangements for their lessons, he insisted that Mitchell join them to eat what they're cooking, so the four of them take their plates to the table and Danny opens a bottle of wine to go with dinner.
"To our first cooking lesson," Claude says, holding up his glass.
They all join him for a toast, wine glasses clinking off of Cameron's glass of soda, and they try the food.
"This came out really good," Cameron says.
"I do know what I'm doing," Mitchell says mildly.
"Yeah," Cameron says, "but Dad doesn't, and Claude only sort of does."
Danny can't help laughing.
"That's why we're doing this," he says, "so we will know."
"Kaylin and Carson are missing it,"
Cameron says after a minute when they are all focused on the food. Danny's not entirely sure he'll be able to replicate it on his own, but it did turn out delicious.
"Next time they come home," Claude says, "we'll have to show them what they missed."
"Kaylin and Carson?" Mitchell asks.
"My brothers," Cameron says. "Kaylin's in college and Carson's in the OHL.
Mitchell looks blank.
"Hockey," Danny explains. "In Canada."
"Ah,"
Mitchell says. "You could teach them some of what you've learned next time they're here. You know you have it down when you can teach it to someone else."
Cameron nods.
"Just like hockey."
Mitchell looks like he doesn't know what to say, and then he laughs and says,
"You're going to have to get used to the hockey as a standard with us."
It takes less work than Danny thought it might to find a time when Caleb, Sarah, and Hunter are all free to go to a game, and he has Claude get them tickets for a Saturday night in February. They meet for dinner first, the other three walking over to meet Danny and coming into the restaurant shivering, even in the coats and hats.
"Whose idea was February?"
Sarah grumbles, rubbing her hands together.
It's freezing.
You need better gloves, Caleb says.
That's not going to do anything about the weather being unbelievably cold.
Toughen up, Hunter says without sympathy. This isn't California. Get used to it.
I don't have to get used to it, Sarah says. Tons of tech companies are headquartered in Silicon Valley. I'm sure I can convince everyone else to move there to start our gaming company. The weather can be part of my pitch.
Danny doesn't have any doubt about her ability to do just that. They don't linger over dinner so they can get to the rink in time for warm-ups.
It's worth it, Caleb says to Sarah as she looks skeptical about that. There are signs, and they don't wear their helmets so you can see what they look like.
Hunter rolls his eyes at them.
And you can get close enough to really see what they're doing.
Danny catches the looks Caleb and Sarah exchange behind Hunter's back and barely manages to stifle his laugh. Once they're inside, they head down toward the glass, with Hunter in the lead. He's the one who cares the most about this part. He might as well be the one who chooses where they're going to watch warm-ups from. It's much the same experience as when Danny brought Caleb to the game. The three of them go down to watch from just behind the glass, with Hunter and Caleb explaining things to Sarah, and Danny hangs out a little to sign things and take pictures. Danny makes his way to the glass before warm-ups are over, and Claude flashes him a grin as he skates by.
I don't know how the whole world doesn't know about you too, Sarah murmurs.
It doesn't cross their minds, Caleb says. People see what they want to see.
We should have made a sign, Sarah says. College students for Claude, or something.
That's terrible, Hunter says.
So come up with something better, Sarah says.
Hunter looks away from the ice for just long enough to throw her a disparaging look. Warm-ups wind down, and Claude shows off his stick handling as he skates over to them with a puck that he flips over the glass for Hunter. For all of his usual cool, Hunter grins at it just as much as the kids across the ice getting a puck from Scott. He isn't a complete asshole, though, and he gives the puck to Danny to sign, and then gives it to one of the little kids near them. When they find their seats, Hunter insists on sitting next to Danny. The other two don't protest, and they end up with Sarah on Danny's other side, and Caleb on the other side of her. It doesn't quite evenly distribute their hockey knowledge, but it's good enough. Hunter watches with the intensity of a sports fan, and Danny would be matching him if he weren't also carrying on conversations with Sarah and Caleb. The game only holds their interest so far, but it's a social occasion as well as a game, so he provides a buffer between their wandering interest and Hunter's focus.
It's way less boring than football, Sarah says at intermission. They just keep moving.
Football's not boring, Hunter says. Caleb laughs at both of them. It's more fun because we know someone in the game.
I've seen football games where I knew some of the people playing, Sarah says. And then, at their looks, what? I went to games in high school.
High school, Hunter says, dismissively. You didn't go to a real football school. Sarah rolls her eyes at him and stands up.
This break lasts a little while, right? I want a hat or a scarf or something.
They all go with her, and Hunter gets into it as much as Sarah and Caleb, grinning at Sarah in an orange scarf and putting a black hat on Caleb's head.
Not me, Caleb says, putting the hat off and returning it to the rack. Maybe you, in this.
He puts an orange hat on Hunter's head. Sarah shudders.
Take that off! She grabs for it. You should never wear orange!
I know, Hunter says. He takes the hat off and plops it onto Danny's head instead. I have plenty of hats, Danny says, and he takes it off and puts it on Sarah's head. Sarah adjusts it and peers out at them from under the brim.
What do you think?
You actually look good in orange, Hunter admits, grudgingly. Sarah turns toward a mirror and looks at herself.
Better than the scarf?
They both look good, Caleb says. It's a lot of orange, though.
I don't mind standing out.
Sarah turns to look at herself from a slightly different angle.
I could use a new scarf, and I still haven't spent all my Christmas money.
She nods at herself in the mirror,
and takes both of them to the cash register. They stop on the way back to their seats for popcorn and drinks, Hunter hustling them along the way so they don't miss Puck Drop. Sarah drapes her scarf across her shoulders and adjusts the fit of her hat.
Do I look like I belong now?
More than the rest of us, Caleb says with a laugh. It's true enough. They're all wearing dark clothes that make Sarah's orange accessories stand out even more. You'll make us look good when we end up on the Jumbotron.
Do you think we will?
Sarah asks. We did last time, Caleb says, because of Danny.
Oh, Sarah says. I guess. I've known you for so long, I forget you're famous.
Danny smiles at her, and Hunter ignores them all in favor of yelling about a blown tripping call. They do, of course, end up on the Jumbotron. Danny smiles and waves. Sarah throws her hands up in the air, and Hunter says,
Stop being so embarrassing,
but smiles anyway. The Flyers win, and Sarah nudges Caleb when they stand up at the end of the game.
Post win, huh?
Caleb grins back at her.
Totally worth it.
Hunter scowls at them, and Danny herds them out of their seats to forestall the argument. There are always plenty of people Danny knows hanging around the locker room, and he chats with them and introduces Hunter, Caleb, and Sarah to some of them before they slip into the room. Claude catches sight of them from the middle of his media scrum and flashes a smile that Danny returns. Scott joins them where they are lingering in the middle of the room, Hunter and Sarah looking around, and Caleb playing it cool.
Came to support the old team.
He pulls Danny into a quick, one-armed hug.
And bring friends to see them,
Danny says. This is Sarah and Hunter. Scott shakes their hands.
Nice to meet you.
He pats Caleb on the shoulder.
Good to see you again, Caleb. It's great to meet you, Hunter says. You've done great things for Philadelphia.
Thanks, Scott says. You know Danny from school?
Yes,
Hunter says, lighting up at the attention.
This is our study group.
Caleb takes Sarah over to meet Lofton and Shanna, and Danny leaves Hunter talking to Scott to go say hi to some of the other guys. He knows the press has cleared out when Claude's hands settle on his shoulders, and Claude kisses his cheek. No one seems to be particularly surprised by it, so Danny turns to brush a kiss across Claude's lips.
Nice game. Thanks.
Claude settles his arm around Danny's shoulder.
How did the kids like it?
Danny waves across the room at where Hunter is very seriously talking to Jake, and Sarah and Caleb are laughing with the Shans. Claude laughs.
Sarah, he calls across the room. You're wearing our colors.
Sarah turns away from the Shans and flashes him a thumbs up as she comes over to them.
I had to fit in somehow.
Claude tweaks the brim of her cap.
You came to the game. We appreciate all our fans.
Sarah makes a face that's half apologetic.
I don't know if I'm really a fan.
She holds up one end of her scarf.
But this looks good on me.
It does, Claude says with a laugh. He turns to Danny.
You need to find friends who appreciate the game. I appreciate the players, Sarah says, and she turns to watch John Michael walk across the room. You and Caleb,
Claude says. Danny laughs.
Hunter appreciated the play. Do we need to rescue Jake?
In a minute, Claude says. He introduces Sarah to John Michael, who smiles and compliments her taste in Flyers gear. Then he and Danny go over to Jake's stall.
And there's our captain,
Jake says when he spots them. Hunter turns toward them.
Claude, that was a great game.
Thanks, Claude says. He looks Hunter up and down.
No orange, even Sarah's wearing Flyers gear now. I look terrible in orange, Hunter says.
He really does, Caleb says, joining them. Not his color at all. Jake escapes to the showers while they're talking, and Sarah comes over to join them after a minute.
We should go, Danny says. Let you get a shower.
Claude says, thank you for coming, to Caleb, Hunter, and Sarah.
Thank you for the tickets,
Hunter says, and Caleb and Sarah echo him. Danny turns into Claude's touch to his shoulder, and they kiss briefly. I think Hartsey's dragging me out, Claude says. But I can come over later. Yes. Then he lets his hand linger on the back of Claude's neck. Wake me up if I'm asleep. Claude kisses him one more time before he heads for the showers, and then he turns to face his study group.
You were right, Sarah says to Caleb thoughtfully. Hockey players!
Sweaty and post-win, Caleb agrees. Sarah grins. We know Danny likes it. Hunter rolls his eyes.
Let's go before you get any more embarrassing.
Sarah and Caleb laugh, and Danny herds them all out of the locker room. Even Hunter is in good spirits, and they cheerfully talk over each other on the way out of the arena and into the car.
So, seriously,
Sarah says on the way back to campus, leaning forward the back seat.
How hot did you find Claude tonight?
Please stop, Hunter says before Danny has to figure out how to answer that.
No, no, Sarah says. I want to know. Scale of 1 to 10.
Danny glances at her in the rearview mirror, catching her grin even in the dark. Next to him in the front seat, Caleb is watching him with a matching grin. He doesn't need to look to know how Hunter's looking at them.
8, he says. Only 8? Sarah asks.
Then he shrugs. It's not like it was in the playoff. That makes all three of them laugh, which is what he was aiming for, and Sarah and Caleb debate where the rest of the players they met would fall, while Hunter protests, without much force, their approach to hockey. They're still laughing and arguing when Danny drops them off on campus. They all thank Danny, and Sarah says,
Be sure to congratulate Claude later,
with an emphasis on congratulate that makes Caleb smirk and Hunter groan. Danny says,
Good night,
and is still laughing when he heads home. He doesn't know how late Claude's going to be, and Claude has a key, so he goes to bed when he gets home. Claude wakes him up some indeterminate amount of time later, hand on his shoulder and soft voice in his ear, bedside lamp turned on low. Then he comes out of sleep slowly and smiles at Claude.
Hi.
Hi. Claude grins at him and bends over to kiss him. Then he wakes up a little more with the contact, the taste of alcohol on Claude's lips.
Come to bed, he smirks. Sarah said I should congratulate you.
He puts the same emphasis on the word that Sarah did. Claude cracks up. Then he laughs with him.
I know, he says. They like to meddle.
He reaches for Claude and tugs on the edge of his suit jacket.
Come to bed.
Claude strips carefully, draping his suit, tie, and shirt over the chair in the corner, letting his boxer brief and socks drop to the floor. He gets into bed, letting in a rush of cooler air as he does. Then he shivers, and Claude scoots closer, bare skin against Danny's.
Are you going to congratulate me?
Claude asks.
Congratulations,
Danny says, and he kisses Claude, silencing his laugh and turning it into a groan. They kiss for a long time, and move against each other slowly, content to rub against each other, letting what there is between them build slowly until Danny gathers both their cocks in his hand and strokes them until they both come. Danny wipes his hand mostly clean with a tissue from the bedside table and turns off the lamp.
You can tell Sarah you did what she said,
Claude says, and it sends both of them into a fit of giddy laughter.
I don't think they need to know more about our sex life than they already do,
Danny says.
As long as it's enough to be jealous, Claude says.
He shifts, so they're more comfortable.
It's a good one.
Yes, Danny agrees. He runs his hand down Claude's side. Really good.